Live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
You know, Tony, I will probably give out the phone number at some point today just because it's like a thing, you know, it just gets in your head.
It's instinct, yeah.
It's instinct and it's pattern and you do it over and over. Oh, we're going to break. Let's throw out the phone number so people know to call in next segment. There's not going to be a whole lot of time for that today. As a matter of fact, the way the show is laid out today, we are full to the brim. Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network will join us coming up in about 10 minutes or so. And among the things we'll discuss is, you know, where he saw some of these young guys coming in out of the draft into the pool of players in the National Football League and how they have developed and whether or not they developed along the pace that he believed they would. And where does Blake Bortles fit in right now among the quintet of young quarterbacks? We'll take Manziel out of the picture because he hasn't started regularly. But with Winston and Mariota coming in this year, Bortles, Carr, and Bridgewater last year, how would he assess that group of five moving forward and based on how they played up until now and what he expects in the future from that group as well? So he'll join us coming up, Johnny O, with an O-Nose segment. We'll follow that at the bottom of the hour. We'll have Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants tell us about some of the delicacies they'll be serving up here tomorrow night at Everbank Field. Jimmy Smith, you're a longtime Jacksonville Jaguar wide receiver, multi-time Pro Bowler, will rejoin Jaguars today about an hour and 10 minutes from now, as a matter of fact, and we'll primarily talk about the development of Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and how well those guys have played this year. From Jimmy's perspective, being a member of the Thunder and Lightning duo along with Keenan McCardell, and then we'll have our weekly injury report with one of the docs from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Got to find out, what is the hope level? What's the prognosis level for T.J. Yeldon, Tony? So Derek Marks going on IR, so that's a blow to the Jags as you'd just gotten him back. He was just starting to round into a little bit of form, and now he's gone for the rest of the year. Now in Hurns, it's like, what? I'm a cyborg. Are you kidding me? I'm not injured. This guy, it doesn't matter. Just pile on the different injuries. Expect him to show up on game day and not only perform, but perform very well.
Look, Allen Hurns is quickly becoming my favorite player on this entire roster. And it's because of how tough he plays the game. And look, we know that he's going through and playing every week right now hurt. There's something hurt. It's his shoulder. It's his ankle. There's the groin, apparently, that he's going to get looked at earlier this week up there in Philadelphia. So there's a lot going on with Allen Hurns, and you know what? He was a full participant in practice yesterday, the first day he gets back. So he's quickly becoming my favorite player on this roster just because of the toughness and the plays that he's making on a week-to-week basis. It does bring up an interesting question, though, with all the injuries that the Jags are going to be dealing with this week. You don't know what the status of T.J. Yeldon's going to be for this football game on Thursday night. He could play, but we're not sure that he's going to play. So does that mean it's Denard or Toby or whoever it's going to be, and the Jags have to go back to whatever their backups are going to be on the defensive line for Derek Marks, who did look like he was finally rounding into some kind of shape for this football team? I am curious to see. They've been good against the run for most of the year. And I know there are fans out there when you say this Jaguars team stops the run, they go, what about that Tampa game? Well, I would submit that if you do it pretty well for 8 out of 9 games you played, you're probably pretty good at it. I think the Jaguars
the numbers
are good.
Say that they're very good
right
at it.
They stopped the run, and they look like they were going to be a phenomenal run-stopping team the last couple weeks. With what they did to the Jets and what they did to Baltimore before Derek Marks left that football game on Sunday, was Derek having an impact? Even more of an impact on what they were doing against the run than what they were doing before, and does it fall back a little bit with him not being a part of that front four going forward? We'll see.
It shouldn't hurt you this week. The Titans had not been able to run the football for the most part all year. Kendall Wright, their top wide receiver, not going to play tomorrow night. So there's no – look, it's all there for you. Go beat the Titans. The Titans are worse than you. Even Vegas knows that they're worse than you, and that's a rarity in the last 4 years or so with the Jacksonville Jaguars to be favored over anybody. Today, your fan feedback question today brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships asks you this. What is your pregame routine when the Jags host a primetime game, be it Monday, Sunday, or Thursday night football, as the case may be? Obviously, it could differ depending on the day of the week that it is, but how do you get geared up for a Thursday night primetime game as opposed to a typical Sunday afternoon 1 o'clock kick here at Everbank? You can share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. 641-1010 serves as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We can take your text today, certainly, and we'll try to read some of those at the conclusion of the program as well. Metro Rooter brings you Jaguars today every Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, even industrial plumbing. Metro Rooter, same-day service, weekends included. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911 for our Wednesday sponsor, Metro Rooter. We will step aside, return in a moment with Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network and NFL.com. We'll get into the developing young roster of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today, live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, that next guest would be the one, the only, Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network and NFL.com. He is, of course, a football analyst, but also a bit of a draft specialist, and you can find him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He's the host of the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks, available on NFL.com, NFL Now, iTunes, and YouTube as well. Daniel, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. What's happening?
Well, you tell us. Tell us what's happening from your vantage point with these Jaguars. We're not happy with the record, obviously, at 3-6, but there's been some improved play. We're close to the situation. We wanted to get an outside view of how you see the development of some of these young players, starting, obviously, with Blake Bortles at the quarterback position. Refresh us on your thoughts about Bortles coming out in the draft and what you felt his strengths and weaknesses are and how you think he has lived up to or failed to live up to your expectations to this point.
Well, I would say he's exceeded my expectations. I think I had him as my 20th or 19th or 20th overall player, something like that, coming into the draft. And, you know, everybody was a little bit surprised when Jacksonville took him as high as they did. But you knew, okay, they have a needed position. You could buy into it. But in terms of what I thought of him coming out, I knew he had size. I knew he was a great athlete, could move around. I didn't think his arm strength really matched his body, just in terms of some mechanical issues he had, he didn't really throw much with his lower half coming out, and he's really corrected a lot of those mechanical things. He's driving the ball much better now. Now he's still prone to, one or two throws a game where he gets a little bit off kilter and throws off balance and floats the ball up there and you've had some turnovers, but man, he's made a lot of big throws, a lot of big plays. And in games where they're chasing points, he's been able to keep them in games and in a couple of instances to pull it off.
You know, it feels like there's an influx of talent at the quarterback position coming into the league. Of course, we thought that a couple of years ago, too, with RG3 and Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, and we've watched at least two of those stars seem to fade right now. But when you look at Bortles compared to the other guys that have come into the league in the last couple of years with Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, Jameis Winston, and Mariota this year, how do you feel like he stacks up against those other guys?
I think it's a pretty tight clump with all those guys. I think they're all, you know, playing pretty well, and consider how little experience they have. I think they're all ahead of schedule. The one I would say that's probably above everybody at this point in time would be Carr, just in terms of his combination of skill set and the decision making where he's at now. I mean, he is really, really gifted. He's been much better than I anticipated. I mean, I had some questions about him just in terms of, you know, he got some pressure. He really kind of broke down when he was at the Fresno State. I remember I was at the game against USC in their bowl game. He really struggled. But man, he is getting the ball out quick, and he has got a big time arm. He can make all the different kind of varieties of throws. He would be the one I would say is the most impressive. But when you go down through that whole list of guys, I think they're all ahead of schedule, and they all look like guys you're not going to have to replace. So that's a good place to start, is to go, okay, we don't have to worry about this position. We can start addressing some other needs.
Daniel Jeremiah here with us from the NFL Network. Daniel, the two favorite receivers for Blake Bortles, obviously Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. You kind of expect Robinson to do well. He's a second-round pick, although they don't always pan out. Marquise Lee has been injured, and Allen Hurns, undrafted out of Miami last year, has really taken advantage, led the team in receiving last year, now just had his seventh consecutive game with a touchdown reception. He's a little banged up, but he will go tomorrow night. Just tell us how Allen Hurns is able to do what he's been able to do so far.
Well, I mean, look, he didn't run as fast as he needed to, you know, coming into the draft process, so that probably caused him to slide a little bit. obviously slid right out of the draft, But the one thing about him, I was there, I was fortunate enough to be there at their training camp within maybe the first week of his NFL career there, his first week of training camp. And he had all those guys to look at, all these receivers, and it was like, whoa, this is the best guy of the whole bunch right here. And I remember, I think Jed Fish was the coordinator at the time, talking to him right off the side of the field about just how impressive he was. And I think he was with him at University of Miami as well. But I was like, yeah, no, keep an eye on him now, keep an eye on him. And it was very evident from day one that he had no trouble competing at that level.
You mentioned with Blake that you thought the mechanical issues that he's dealt with here in the first year, year and a half of his career, that you feel like he's ahead of maybe where you expected him to be. With the young quarterbacks in the league, going back to them, where do you feel like the ceilings are for these guys, and maybe where does Blake's ceiling compare to where you think some of these other guys may be?
Well, I would say because of just, if just looking purely at their skill sets, I would say the highest ceiling I would probably put up there would be Carr. I would put Blake up there, and I would probably put Mariota. If we're just talking just ceilings, you know, how good could these guys ultimately be? Because all three of those guys can really move, and that gives you some more options there. I'm a big believer in Jameis Winston as a pro style pocket passer, and I think he's got incredibly high ceiling in that standpoint. But just in terms of being able to do everything and to expand your playbook, I think those three guys, probably because of their mobility and athleticism, would probably be a little bit ahead.
Daniel, we have limited time, we know, with you this morning. We'll get back to some individual players, but I wanted to get your take on the job that Gus Bradley's done, because that's been a big point of debate here in Jacksonville. Certainly, we understand as well as anyone can the situation that he was brought into and the rebuilding philosophy and all these things, but the bottom line is, here they are after a 4-win season, a 3-win season. They're sitting at 3-6, and they've let some winnable games slip through their fingers. Do you feel like Bradley has them on the right track, or has he missed some opportunities? How do you evaluate the job he's done so far?
Well, I mean, they've definitely had some tough losses. I mean, the Indianapolis game jumps right out at you. But, man, it's that's what's so hard is it's okay. You can look at a decision here or there, but, man, that comes down to a kick. And so it's hard for me to put that on the head coach. Now, I think this is, you know, with him being young as a head coach and inexperienced, I think you're going to see him handle late game situations and manage games better as he continues to gain more experience. And just overall as a team, I think you'll see them figure out a way to kind of, you know, win these close games. I think the bright side is, man, they're in it. They're in just about every game. And you've got good young players that are developing. And I think that gets lost in the job of a coach. We thought, okay, how does he, you know, mess up the clock, some game management things. But the other side of it is, man, you got young players. Are they getting better on your watch? Are you a good teacher? And are we seeing progress individually? And I think without question, you've seen all these young players make progress.
How did you feel about T.J. Yeldon coming into the draft, and have you seen the kind of progress from him that you expected here halfway through his first year?
No, I like T.J. coming in. I mean, I think a lot of people had said it. He was kind of a poor man's version of Le'Veon Bell, just in terms of all the different things he can do, and you've seen that on display. Now, I just need to stay healthy and continue to build on what he's done. I'd like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more, obviously. But somebody that's got good vision, he's slippery. He's for a big guy like that, he runs a little bit high. He likes to see him lower his pad level. That's just his style. But, man, he's slippery. He can make people miss. And he can, on contact, lower his pads and get some extra yards. So I think they've got their guy going forward. I think they're set at those key positions on offense. Now, when you look at the receivers, you look at the running back, the quarterback, they're set there. I'd like to see a little bit more out of the free agent tight end from Denver, Julius Thomas. I mean, that's something to keep an eye on as we come down the stretch here.
Yeah, we'd all like to see a lot more, as a matter of fact, out of that position. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, here with us for a couple more minutes. Daniel, one of the things that Dave Caldwell, general manager of the Jags, said after the draft in regards to selecting Dante Fowler Jr. is you always have to look at the draft and what's coming up next year and where you think you're going to be positioned. And he felt that there was only one first-round talent, at least at that time, in terms of a pass rusher in next year's draft, presuming that's Joey Bosa. First of all, tell us what your scouting report was on Dante Fowler Jr., obviously a wash this year with the torn ACL. But then next year, how much beyond Bosa is there available in the pass rush department in the 2016 draft?
Yeah, I mean, Fowler, I mean, I had him, I think, as my fourth overall player in the draft, so I was a big fan of him. I mean, just the versatility, the explosiveness, and then the aggressive nature in which he played is something I like to see. I mean, having spent time in the Ravens organization, we always use that phrase, guys that kind of play like Ravens, you know, playing with your hair on fire, and I thought that's a good way to describe Dante Fowler. So they get him back next year, it's going to be like having two first-round picks when they get him back in the mix. In terms of what this next draft class looks like of edge rushers, you know, I'm still getting into it now. We got to wait and see who all decides to come out. I mean, Bosa to me is, I have an article coming out today on comparison to him. I reached out to five personnel execs, got their thoughts on it. And, the comps were pretty intriguing because I think everybody kind of throws out JJ Watt and that's not who he is. It was actually interesting. I got three votes for Jared Allen and I got a vote for Michael Strahan and then I got a vote for Chris Long as who Joey Bosa reminded guys of. So, he's a good one, but there's a redshirt sophomore at Missouri, Charles Harris, who I got alerted to just the last couple of days, and I've watched him, and, you know, Missouri's been cranking out these pass rushers. He's another really, really good one.
You know, I was going to ask you, Daniel, just what your schedule looks like on a weekly basis, especially here during the season, because it's pretty clear you're very up-to-date on what's going on in the National Football League right now, but with your job over there at NFL Network as kind of one of their scouts and trying to take a look at what's going on for the upcoming draft as well, do you make it out to college football games on the weekend? Is that part of your weekly schedule as well?
Yeah, it kind of cranked up for me starting in November. So this month, I went out and saw Christian Hackenberg. I try and get out and see the quarterbacks live, but, you know, all these guys, that's the position you got to go see them throw. So I've been to a USC game a little bit earlier. I went and saw Hackenberg, and this weekend I'm going to go up to Stanford Cal to watch Goff and Hogan in that game. And then once we get to the bowl season, I'll probably hit up about 9 or 10 bowl games, and that's what I'm really kind of launching into the draft portion of it. But you know, hey, we are NFL Network, so we got to keep up with what's going on the NFL side of things. So, you know, Sundays I'm on our NFL Game Day Live coverage and with my podcast and everything. We focus pretty solely on the NFL at this time, and then we'll transition as we get towards the playoffs and kind of ease into all the draft coverage.
All right, that is the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks. That's available on NFL.com, NFL Now, iTunes, and YouTube. And, of course, Thursday Night Football back on the NFL Network this week. Titans, Jags tomorrow at 8:25 Eastern with the pregame getting underway at 6 o'clock. By the way, Daniel, as we let you go, tell our mutual friend Maurice Jones-Drew that he is going to be on the way wrong side of history by declaring Bortles a bust after 16 starts. All right? So,
did he throw that out there?
We went at it for 45 minutes on the radio show on Sirius XM about a month ago. As he was 16 starts into his career, he declared him a bust because he hadn't won enough games and would hear nothing of the other side of the argument. So I will enjoy reminding him that for as long as I know him.
He's a big Gabbert guy now.
Tell me about it. Right, the guy who just won his first start in 11 games, and he's a big Gabbert guy. Go figure. I don't know. Daniel, we appreciate the time as always, man. Have a great day, all right?
All right, take care.
All right, there he goes, at Move the Sticks on Twitter. That is the mystery of Maurice Jones-Drew, Tony. He is. He's a huge Gabbert guy. Oh, he's got a raw deal. He's had different coordinators. Try to say, well, wait a minute. Hasn't Blake Bortles had two different coordinators in two years in the league? But all the things around him, which were all the points I made about Blake, yet Blake was a bust, and Gabbert is his guy, despite the fact I believe he just snapped a 10-game winless start streak for the San Francisco 49ers in that thrilling 1-point victory over the Atlanta Falcons. I hope the Seattle Seahawks beat the absolute snot out of him this week. Sorry,
I think most
Blaine.
People in Jacksonville probably do.
Actually, I'm not sorry. I hope they beat the snot out of you. All right, coming up next, we got the Ozone, Johnny O, with his Oh No segment. John Osher, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, will check in. Yeah, you see, he was surprised that Maurice felt that way. I asked Maurice to go ask Daniel and Bucky what they felt about his take on that. Apparently, he neglected to do so. That's right. I'm talking about you, 32. All right, here we go. We'll take a timeout here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, coming back with the senior writer from Jaguars.com, John Osher. Don't forget, Jimmy Smith. number 82. I'm not a numbers guy, but I know that. Number 82 in your program, number one in your hearts among Jaguar wide receivers all time, will join us at about 11:15 Eastern to talk about the development specifically of Allen Robinson now in Hearns, but overall his take on where the Jags are headed in 2015 and beyond. All that coming up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, we are guest heavy today, and although Johnny's his family, right? He's not a guest. John Osher, senior writer for Jaguars.com. Good morning. How are you? Yes, I do. We don't like it, by the way.
Then, you know, on other shows, Frank, I have an intro, an Oh No's. It fell on deaf ears. There was no response. I'm not getting any traction on that. So I appreciate the intro, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
You're welcome.
I have no respect anywhere else.
You're welcome.
I'm a little annoyed by it, but I'll move on.
Minimal respect here. That's fine. That's a high watermark.
So an intro isn't respect?
It's not much, but it's something.
It's a necessary gesture.
It's something. It's something. It is a gesture, nonetheless. TJ yelled it out of the boot yesterday. How you feeling? Trending okay?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. It's always tough, especially with rookies who say, I'm playing. Because every player thinks they're playing. And TJ said, quote, I'm playing before Tampa and didn't play. So it's hard to know. It feels like one that he'll play. There hasn't been a big vibe from Gus that he won't. But it's a three-day rest period between games. So that's when weirdness happens with the injury report, meaning not weirdness in terms of deception, but weirdness that you just don't know until the day of, because it's essentially half the normal time they have to prepare.
What is the plan if TJ Yeldon can't go, in your mind?
I think it's got to be Denard. I
mean, Denard, basically taking TJ's role and that volume of carries that he would typically have.
There's really Joe Banyard.
Right.
Toby Gerhardt.
Pierce in pretty bad shape.
Well, he's had the groin didn't allow him to play on Sunday.
I thought he aggravated like an Achilles before in pregame warmups. I thought we were hearing.
Was it an Achilles?
I thought
the injury report said groin.
You might be right about groin.
Lower extremity. We'll go hockey and say lower extremity.
Right.
But it didn't allow him to play. TJ Yeldon played through his, so you would think that Bernard Pierce has less of a chance because he knocked him out of the game and it's 3 days later. I don't know that right now you would want to have Toby Gerhardt as the feature back. I think that goes to Denard Robinson with a mix of Toby.
But do you think they run it about the same percentage? I mean, will the game plan, in your opinion, change significantly if it is Denard instead of
Toby? I doubt it because it just feels like a game they're going to throw anyway. Marquise Lee got his wheels under him, so to speak, the other day. I don't think he'll have nearly as many limitations. You've got Julius Thomas, you've got Rashad Green, you've got your weapons. So I think that would influence you to throw a little more. So maybe a little less, but I don't think it's enough less that you would necessarily notice it as a huge theme in the game.
How big of a surprise to you or disappointment, or how would you characterize the lack of running game this year?
Frustrating, probably more than anything, because every time I watch it, I keep seeing flashes where, like even the other day, there were a couple of flashes where TJ would sort of, slice and dice, whatever, and get 5 or 6 yards. And then you're thinking it's getting going. You're thinking it's getting going, and then it doesn't. So it's surprising. I've got to think that not having Linder and Can being a rookie hurts. I wonder what they will do at center in the offseason. I don't know with Wisniewski on a one-year contract.
Do you think he's an option? I mean, how do you think he's played overall?
I think he's improved it in terms of communication up there. I think the veteran presence in getting guys in and out of calls certainly has helped. They've had a few games where it's been Katie bar the door with the pass rush, but it hasn't felt like other teams have consistently just wrecked the offense with it the way they did last year. So I'd say it's not better enough, but it's better. So I think he's done okay. You would think that it would be an area that they would look at very seriously and try to figure out, can we get better? Yes, no. If not, then let's stick with that.
You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of talk about Luke Joeckel since the very early part of the season, right?
Right.
And that's typically a good thing
with
offensive linemen. Now, when you miss a key block and your quarterback gets sacked, everyone notices that. Oh, Joeckel's
terrible.
That
happened
terrible.
The other day, obviously.
And it did,
and
right?
It spawns this, you know, the flurry of emails. He's been better, you know, and I look at him now as one that I don't think, especially this offseason, that they need to look at and go, what do we need to do here? So I think he's the guy until he shows more than he has that he's not the guy. Does that make any sense?
I mean, I think, right. You could improve upon it, but you have a limited pool of resources in terms of what's available in free agency. You have X amount of draft picks, and you have other more pressing concerns.
Right. Somebody asked me this the other day, and it's not always as easy as looking at it and saying, could we be better there? Well, okay, maybe you could be better there. Ideally, you would be, maybe. Well, how do we go get better?
Right.
Can we go get better?
Who's available to you to improve
and
that
spot?
And that's
sometimes the thing that a general manager really building a roster look at, that it's harder for the typical fan to look at because they maybe aren't looking at the entire roster. I mean, not roster, but the landscape, or with an idea of what's coming up in college football, what they need when they go draft. So I don't think he's a glaring need. And from everything you hear, they believe he's getting better and that is not a weakness.
Players like playing on primetime. Okay, they because they know their peers are watching them. Kind of, it's the show in the National Football League. They're it for that night. So with that, how do you think this team's going to respond to this stage?
Well, I'd say first of all, in the vein that you just talked about, Thursday's a bittersweet like, if you will, because they like playing in primetime, but
they don't
like
the short week.
But playing on Thursday. I've talked to very few players who think that's a good thing. But I think for this franchise, for this team right now, if the players aren't excited about this, you know, A, they've got gold uniforms, for goodness sakes. What more do you want?
Come on.
So,
do you have something special you're going to wear for this tomorrow?
I've got some thoughts percolating for the Ozone Video mailbag, put it that way.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But
brought to you by Golden's Mustard.
You at least got to get the gold gloves.
I'm looking forward to some things.
So, don't spoil it, Tony.
They've got to be looking forward to this. This is the first time in a long time where whatever the record, whatever all the circumstances, they're playing a game that you've got to think the fan base is going to be jacked up for. It matters. It's important. It's on prime time.
It's a team you expect to beat.
You go out and play well, and then all of a sudden, people who watch it, for the first time in a while, maybe they say, you know what? Looks like an ascending thing there. We sort of feel it, but we analyze it every day. We break it down. But the nation could look at this, and beating the Titans isn't going to change the conversation about this team. But if you play well and the guys that we think are ascending players play well, maybe you get noticed a little bit if that matters to you.
And you know, I know you were saying, you know, people get tired of hearing the playoff conversation. We're talking on the break. They'll be in it because of the nature of the division this year.
They'll be in it, and that will be again, I'm not big into this whole national respect thing that I understand the fans just want it, and I get it. But if you win this, by the end of that game, people talking about the game have to look at it and say, this team's a half game back.
Right.
You can't, and yeah, you can say record, half game back's a half game back.
Yeah, they'll be
with
right there in the mix.
Six to play and three of four out here and all the things we've been talking about. So, as I said Monday, must win.
I agree with you, right? I mean, this
I'm all in. I'm putting my cards in.
This is more of a must win simply because now the position you're in, right, that you can't squander this.
I thought the conversation and the way this team could feel about itself, I think we talked about it Monday, changed a little bit Sunday even with that kick. And I get that it shouldn't have. You lost the game, whatever, and then you won the game. But now you can talk about a team that won 2 of 3. Now you can have it come, and they can feel that way about themselves. Well, 3 of 4 guess what? It's better than 2 of 3.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm breaking a little news there, but that's how it is.
Well, wow, I was not sure about that.
And that can build. And then you've won 3 of 4 with 3 or 4 more out here against opponents, frankly, that shouldn't run you out of the building.
That have stunk themselves this year for the most part.
So, hey, go win the thing.
Derek Marks, how big of a loss? Now, I know he hasn't been there all season long, but just coming back to form.
And I'm usually not one, if people read me over the years, listen, I'm usually not one, except for quarterback, that goes out and says, boy, this loss is huge, because I think usually you should be able to cover up, scheme things. He had been getting a lot better in the last couple of weeks, I think, and I don't think he was giving you every play what he had given you the last couple of years. It's hard to do that coming off an ACL. But there had been those moments where, as Roy Miller said yesterday, Sen was looking like Sen, and he had gotten the penetration, he had gotten the movement up the middle, where he either gets a tackle for a loss or he forces somebody outside, impact stuff that helps other people too. I don't think they have anything at the 3 technique that's going to replace that in the short term. So I think that's a big loss. I'm curious more how it's going to affect the run defense than I am the pass rush. They had been almost dominant for a while with him in the game the last couple of weeks. When he went out, not quite as dominant against the Ravens. Can they replace that? I doubt it, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's not a great running team that's coming in here.
Right, maybe you don't see it.
In the short term, it might not matter, right?
But over the long term, I mean, again, I'm not usually one, except for a pass rusher, who thinks a defensive lineman going out should just wreck things. I don't think that's the case, because they have talent there. Tyson can do it. Jared Otter can move inside and do it. But Sen is a special guy that fans notice for a reason. He's legitimately an impact player in there.
All right, what do you have coming up over the course of the next day or so?
I'll be writing about Allen Hurns today.
He's good.
Well, and really talking about what this guy's a neat story who's easy to root for. You've had him in here.
Sure.
But he's going beyond that. He's turned into a really good player who matters a great deal, who sort of quietly, from our perspective, has turned into a star. We see it and are not surprised. People are starting to notice nationally. And, good for him. You talk about a guy who's worked for it, who's earned it, who you're happy to see do well. Both the guys. A-Rob's the same way.
Yeah.
But Allen Hurns being undrafted.
We were just talking with Daniel Jeremiah about that. You can't always expect it out of a second rounder, but you expect it more so than out of an undrafted rookie.
And not only, ascended quickly, and I think what's neat about Allen Hurns is, in the offseason, even after last season when he caught 6 touchdown passes, there was the yeah buts. Well, yeah, he dropped a lot of passes. Yeah, can he do it? And I actually had people in the offseason, will he be as good without Jed Fish's offense?
Mm.
Because he had played in that.
Right.
So those were
I don't think that's a crazy question to ask, but
there were these little topics.
Right.
And, there's a story about he went over and ran routes alone at Bishop Kenny in January. It's almost movie script stuff.
Right.
What he's done so far. So more power to him, because what a good kid. And like I say, easy to root for.
Hurnsy.
Let's hope he gets 8.
Hurnsy. Coming soon to a theater near you in about 20, 25 years.
That might be pretty good.
Hurnsy, get to work on that. You and Prisco.
I'd go watch
it. Screenplay together. There you go. Johnny O, at John Osier on Twitter. And, of course, he is a senior writer at Jaguars.com. And he's all over with his multimedia taskings, including, apparently, spending time with the guys in the afternoon on 1010XL once a week.
With no intro.
Not very happy about that.
We'll cover that at some point.
All right, John. Have a great rest of your day, man. And we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. There he goes. John Osier, your senior writer for Jaguars.com. He knows a lot. Coming up next, we got this date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL, plus Chef Tim from Levy Restaurants will pop in, tell us what he's cooking up for the fans tomorrow at Everbank. And then still to come in about 25 minutes, Jaguar wide receiver great Jimmy Smith joins the program live. All that coming up and more on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. On this date, November 18th, 1990, Art Monk of the Washington Redskins became only the third player in NFL history to amass 700 career receptions when he had four grabs against the Saints. Famous birthdays for this date, the assassin Jack Tatum, known for his hard-hitting ways, also known for one of his hits paralyzing Daryl Stingley and really never showing any remorse for it the rest of his life. Not that he set out to do it intentionally, but Jack Tatum's persona wouldn't allow him to even express much in the way of condolence to Daryl Stingley. Passed away in 2010 at the age of 61. Born in the state in 1956, Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback, nine-time Pro Bowler, and won a bunch of Grey Cups as well up in Canada. Went into the Hall of Fame in 2006. Also notables on this date, 1964, Seth Joyner, longtime Philadelphia Eagle, teaming up to create a ferocious pass rush with a number of guys in the early 90s. Rocket Ishmael, born in this date in 1969. A couple of former Jaguars for a brief period of time. 1982, we saw the birth of Greg Estandia, turns 33 years old today. And Deji Kareem, born in this date in 1986. Finally, Marcel Darius, the defensive tackle of the Bills by way of Alabama, turns 26 years old today. That is this date in football history. It's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. For your home, for your place of business, re-roofs, repairs. If you've got roofing concerns or you want to make sure that you don't have any concerns with your roof, call Bob Roberts at 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for First Coast Roofing, presenting this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Oakland Raiders linebacker Alden Smith has been suspended for 1 year by the National Football League. Smith pleaded not guilty to charges of misdemeanor hit and run, drunken driving, and vandalism in September. The incident occurred back in August. It was Smith's fifth arrest since 2012. After he was released by San Francisco, he was signed to a one-year deal by Oakland, where he is tied for second on the team in sacks with 3.5. To this point in the 2015 season, but he's going to be suspended for a year. Of course, he's going to try to appeal that suspension. The Dallas Cowboys have waived quarterback Brandon Whedon to make a space on the roster for the return of quarterback Tony Romo. They have also released running back Kristen Michael, whom they acquired from Seattle in September via trade. They are signing another Seahawks running back, Robert Turbin, to take that roster spot.
How about that? Robert Turbin's been kicking around for the last couple of years. It's funny, they had Kristen Michael, the guy who couldn't beat out Robert Turbin for the backup job in Seattle. So now they cut Michael and they realize, well, maybe the guy he was behind on the depth chart all that time in Seattle is the guy we should have had all along. I mean, it's only a backup running back spot, but...
Sure. I was reading a little bit about the trade because I didn't remember exactly what it was between Dallas and Seattle. It was a conditional seventh-round pick, and it was based on the number of games that Michael appeared in. I doubt he hit whatever that number was. So Seattle may be getting nothing for the pick in the end.
Yeah, which is basically what Dallas got on their side of it.
Yeah.
Nothing for nothing. Leaves nothing.
They were going to cut him anyway.
With Kristen Michael. Right. And it's funny because he was a preseason sensation. Was it just last year that he was a rookie?
Yeah, 2014.
My goodness, Tony. Second-round pick, right, of the Seahawks, I want to say.
I want to say that's
pretty
right.
Pretty sure that was the case and had a lot of natural ability and never could get on the field, obviously, with Marshawn Lynch here, but people thought he might be the heir apparent to Lynch, and that's not going to come to pass.
2013.
So 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. Second-round pick, 62nd overall in 2013.
Okay, yeah, because he was in that class with Monty Ball and Le'Veon Bell and all those guys, right, in the second round of the 2013 draft. I'm pretty sure that's the way it all played out. All right, coming up. We got 82 coming up. Jimmy Smith, he's going to pop in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk about Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, among other things. Don't forget fan feedback question of the day today with the Jaguars playing a primetime game. We want to know, as a Jag fan, what is your primetime game routine when you're getting ready for a Jags primetime game? Is your pregame routine different than it would be for a 1 o'clock game? Obviously, if you're working up until, say, 5 o'clock, it would be, but share your thoughts on that as far as that goes. And, let us know what you're doing to gear up for the Bold Rush tomorrow night. I think the uniforms are going to be a hit. Obviously, they got to play well. if they play like garbage, then nobody's ever going to want to see those things again.
Sure.
But I think they will be a hit, Tony. I'm hoping at least they look good in the photos. Hopefully they'll translate on television better than the Jets and Bills combination did last week.
Yeah, a friend of mine already ordered his Bold Rush jersey.
Which one did he get?
He got Yeldon because he already had a Bortles jersey, so he wanted a different player. I think he wanted Hurns, honestly, and they've only made Bortles and Yeldon available to this
right.
point in the gold. So he didn't have a Yeldon jersey, so he ordered that up, and he's obviously excited about it. I think it's funny, you know, you talked to Fred Taylor on the post game this week, and you mentioned the fact that they're going to be wearing those gold jerseys, and you can hear it in his voice. He's like, oh, man.
I know. He wants to be in those.
It's like they get to wear that in front of a national audience. I mean, just how cool that is for these guys to have that kind of opportunity. The Titans are just wearing blue.
Right.
I mean, the Chargers wear blue every week.
Exactly.
The Titans wear blue every week, and the Jags get their alternate jersey as a gold jersey. It's a cool deal.
Right. They get some accents of gold in their uniform.
Sure.
But not as full-blown as we're going to see it tomorrow night. So I'm with you. It does look like a cool deal as far as that looks. Also coming up today, we'll talk with one of the docs from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute and get your weekly injury report update. T.J. Yeldon out of the boot as we talk with John Osier. Tony, I mean, look, I don't know. That doesn't guarantee anything. As John pointed out, he said he would play against Tampa, wasn't able to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think you take him out of the boot that early unless you have a pretty good idea of his availability on Thursday night. That's my guess.
Probably not, but it's, again, it's a weird week where, look, you talk about in the NFL that this is a game where it's basically like getting into 50, 60 car crashes a week. And the idea of that kind of punishment to your body and then saying 4 days later, let's go do it again, when everything that you've ever done in football is, okay, I did it on Friday night, I did it on Saturday night, I need to get myself ready for 7 days later. Like, it's that six-day recovery window, and I get why NFL players go, they hate this Thursday night deal, because the idea of only having 3 days to recover instead of six is a vastly different thing for these guys, and you can understand why at times you've seen really sloppy games on Thursday night football. I don't think guys are healed up from what they did on Sunday yet by the time they come back out onto the field on Thursday night. You get the 10 days after it, though, which is almost like getting half a bye week on the other side of it. It's just a really quick turnaround for all these guys on Thursday
night.
And I think
it's a good thing that they do division games as well.
Yeah.
You know, because then everybody's in the same boat. You're playing a division opponent, and so they've got the
You're familiar.
Turnaround. Yeah, right, exactly. You should be familiar with them anyway, even if it's the first time you've played them that year. And that's one thing. The Jags aren't as familiar with the Titans because of Marcus Mariota having not played against them at this point. So I just think the Jags are the better team at this point in time. And where in the past we've said, well, I think they can win this game. They certainly can win this game. They can win this matchup. They're not, you know, they're kind of comparable to that team. I think they are flat out better than Tennessee.
Me
and
too.
They just need to go out and play like it and prove it tomorrow night. We got to take a timeout. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, because coming up next, Jay Smooth, Jimmy Smith is going to join us. We'll look at the development of Allen Robinson. We'll look at the development of Allen Hurns and where Jimmy sees this football team and this franchise headed in the near future. That's coming up next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Take the snap, drop the throw, looks left, pumps, now turns and throws. He's looking for Jimmy Smith, and Smith makes the grab! 10, 5, down the sideline, did he get it?
Touchdown!
Touchdown! Jaguars are going to win it!
Yeah, we heard that a lot.
Yes, we did.
66 other times, as a matter of fact, in the regular season alone. Jimmy Smith, author of 9 1,000-yard seasons, 5 Pro Bowl appearances, Tony, 862 grabs for over 12,000 yards in those 67 touchdowns and countless highlights. And he joins us once again on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you. Good morning, Jimmy Smith. How are you, bud?
Morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, man. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. We're all doing a little bit better in Duval now that the Jags picked up a win against Baltimore over the weekend, man. I assume you've been watching this team from afar. What have you been in your impression so far, the way the 2015 season has gone?
Well, I'm impressed because this team reminds me of the 95-96 teams. You know, we were young, just gelling together, and then we hit that halfway point during the season in 96, and we didn't lose another ball game until the AFC Championship. And, you know, something tells me that we're right on the horizon of this team doing something similar to what we did in 96.
Jimmy, take us back to 96 for a moment. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about that story and what was going on with this football team. And I don't think the fans had any expectations of making the playoffs that year, but the run started the way it did. Before that run got going for this Jaguars team, how much conversation was there going on inside the building about whether Tom Coughlin was the right guy? What clicked for you guys that got you on that roll that year?
Well, I don't think it was if Tom Coughlin was the right guy. I think it was always if Tom Coughlin was the right guy, because a lot of guys had a tough time adjusting and buying into what Coach Coughlin was putting on the table, and that's hard work with the result of getting wins. What clicked? We just bought into it. You know, Coach Coughlin drafted well. You know, he did good as far as searching for talent and bringing a good nucleus of guys who were not only talented but could play well together.
Jimmy Smith here with us, Jaguar great. Jimmy, I look back on your career, and one thing I always think of when I think of you is you running behind a secondary with another deep catch. You were a fast guy, but you knew how to get open as well. And you averaged a very good 14.3 yards per reception throughout your entire career. And it was pretty steady throughout. How impressed have you been with the explosive element that Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns have brought to the table this year? Allen Robinson is averaging 16.8. Allen Hurns is averaging 17. These guys are not necessarily, you know, the guys you think of as burners, but they're doing a great job making plays down the field.
Well, I think they're at the beginning stages of figuring out how to play the game, you know, how to play the position, along with how to play the game. And that's, like you mentioned something, they're not burners. But they've learned, Keenan McCardle wasn't a burner neither, but he got deep. So they're learning how to get deep without running fast, to get deep without being a burner. Once you learn how to get deep without being a burner, and vice versa, you know, if you're a burner, once you learn how to run the short intermediate routes, I mean, you're pretty much unstoppable. You got a two-way go. And no defensive back can cover a receiver with a two-way go. But these guys understand it, and what I like about it is that you can see their swagger. That's the one thing that sticks out about these playmakers. They're making plays, and they're doing it with swagger. And I think it's it looks like it's carrying over for the rest of the team, it seems like.
How difficult is that to develop, Jimmy? That idea of maybe I am the deep threat, I need to learn to run these short and intermediate routes, which maybe you didn't have to do in college. Or if you are the guy who has always just been a good route runner and trying to figure out how to learn to get open deep, is that something that's instinct for these guys and their natural ability just takes over? Or how difficult is it to learn one or the other?
Well, it's not learn one or the other. It's either you are or you're not. You know, like Keenan's not. He was a big play receiver, but he's considered a possession receiver. I was considered a big play receiver, but we could both switch. I could be a possession receiver, and Keenan could be the big play receiver. So we were versatile, and you know, with not only, you know, this group of receivers growing up together and maturing at the same time, that's valuable right there, and that's going to pay off in the long run. But it's not only a tandem, it's a trio. They got a quarterback that's also developing and learning how to play the position. So I'm looking, you know, there's a lot of talk about on social media about the next Thunder and Lightning. Well, they certainly got my attention.
Are you okay with them being called that, or would you like them to come up with their own unique nickname?
No, I like it because it's what that says to me is that they honor us. We're worshiped like we're an old battleship. You know?
They respect the past, yeah. Right? And what's come before, man.
Yeah, man. Shoot. I love it. You know, I love the love that I get from the fans there still. And, you know, when I reach out to the players, they respond. You know, so I feel a part of that. And, you know, I know I'm in another state, but I'm watching the Jaguars.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. And at Jimmy Smith Jags is where you find Jimmy on Twitter. I imagine most people who are active on Twitter listening to this show know that already. But we see you out there all the time talking Jag football and commenting on what's going on. Have you had much interaction directly with this receiver corps, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurntie, Marquise Lee, even though he's not playing much? Those been guys that you've communicated with, and what has been, you know, kind of their attitude towards it? Are they looking at you like, hey, give me all the knowledge you could possibly pass along?
Yeah, you know, it hadn't been, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing, sitting down and spending some time with these guys and kind of picking their brain and, you know, seeing where they are, you know, and mentally. You know, physically, they're awesome, but mentally, I want to see where their mindset is, and whatever advice I can add there. But, you know, the times that we've spoken or seen each other has been, you know, look, you know, they're honored to meet me, and at the same time, I'm honored to meet them, you know, because I, you know, it feels special when someone, you know, when someone likes you.
No doubt. And look, this is a league of kind of those ebbs and flows where you're going to be really good at times, and there's going to be times when your game feels like it's slipping. For you, you know, we're watching Blake Bortles on a week-to-week basis, and he's making plays to give the Jaguars chances. He's also making plays that limit their chances and opportunities to win games with some of the picks and stuff that he's thrown. Going back through your career, when there were times when Brunell may have been struggling, what was the conversation like between you and Keenan and him, and just trying to get him to relax a little bit and rely on you guys and let you guys go make the plays for him at times?
Well, our situation was a little different. When Mark struggled, we didn't worry about Mark because we knew he wasn't going to struggle very long. We were worried about Keenan throwing a fit on the sideline because he wasn't getting the ball. So, you know, it's just, you know, like I said before, guys, is that these guys are around the same age. They're going to mature around the same time. And we didn't know it at the time. Maybe Coach Coughlin knew it, but with me, Mark, and Keenan, you know, we grew up together.
Right.
You know, we grew up together, and that was, and we competed. You know, me and Keenan had a friendly competition, which made us better. So there was a lot of components, you know, added to this thing. So, you know, we had a lot of good things working for us offensively. Great offensive coordinator, disciplinary head coach. You got great offensive line. Running game is solid. So we just had all the components in order for us to be successful. We couldn't have done it had it not been for everybody on that offense.
Jaguar great Jimmy Smith here with us on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jimmy, Marquise Lee, there's some similarities to his path up until this point in his career and yours. Both second-round picks. You probably thought you were going to star alongside Michael Irvin in that Dallas Cowboy wide receiver core forever, and you broke your leg your rookie season, so injuries set you back. He's got different kinds of injuries, but he's not been able to realize his full potential because of them. What would you tell him about being patient and just being ready to go when his number is called? Or what kind of advice, if any, would you give to Marquise Lee?
Well, the be patient part, you know, yeah, to a certain extent, but, you know, you're a second-round pick. You gotta get on the field, you know? And you got to prove to the world why you were drafted in the second round, you know? And he'll mature, you know. Fred Taylor went through it a little bit. He got, you know, I think it was unfair that, you know, he was called Fragile Freddy, you know. And I knew that because, you know, that affected Fred. And he wasn't mature enough. Even I wasn't mature enough to say, hey, Fred, we got to hit this weight room. We got to get these massages. We got to, you know what I'm saying? We got to make sure we got a proper nutrition plan. You know, we got to make sure that we're hydrating, especially on Thursdays, because you get your maximum performance 3 days before the game or whatever. You know, those little things that I know Marquise Lee doesn't know. And he probably doesn't have anybody to tell him that. So the first thing that I would tell him, let's get in the weight room, stretching program. You know, I mean, he has to do that. And he needs someone to tell him.
The whole nine yards about taking care of his body and preparing it for the game, right?
Well, yeah. And it really starts in the weight room. That's what I've learned. You got to hit those weights hard. And, you know, in order to stay healthy, because you got some grown men out there that are lifting weights. And if you're not lifting weights, you're not going to be able to keep up for a 17-week season.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Jimmy, when will we see you in Jacksonville again? It was cool to see you last year. When are you making the trip over here to Duval one more time?
Man, I was going to surprise y'all and catch a flight tonight.
Is that
be
right?
For tomorrow night. No, I'm just kidding.
That'd be awesome.
Probably for the reunion, and I think that's in December. So
we'll definitely look forward to seeing you, man, whenever that time comes. Still special for you when the Jags and the Titans tangle?
Yeah, it's a different ball game. You know, I see the promos on the TV, Jags Titans game, you know, Thursday night. I'm like, you know, that's just not any other game. You know, because of the history and you know, that team being a nemesis to us, you know, as successful as we were. You know, we could have been an undefeated team.
Right.
Yeah, you can say we had a weak schedule or what have you, but look, we could have been undefeated had it not been for that one team that beat us three times in one season.
Yeah, and how about a little word association?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about Jeff Fisher, you think what, Jimmy?
I think of him talking... I was about to curse. I think of him talking crap about... He has two home stadiums. Now, I don't know if he actually said that or something, but, you know, I remember, you know, him saying that, you know, it was like playing the Jaguars in Jacksonville was like playing a home game or something to that effect.
Right, right.
But he was always complimentary to me. He never had anything bad to say about me, but that's what's
not much reason
about
to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, you know, the Tennessee Titans have been the nemesis in the Jaguars.
Well, there's no question about
the
that.
Jaguars.
I still think probably still the most hated rival of all time and due primarily to that 99 season. Jimmy, we appreciate your restraint when Tony brought up Jeff Fisher's name. I know you'll be pulling like crazy for the Jags, and I know every Jag fan here in Duval would love to see you here whenever you make the trip over to Jacksonville. Continued success in this stage of your life. I know you talked last time we talked to you about maybe one day getting into coaching. Is that still something you'd like to consider at some point down the line?
No, it changed my mind.
Really?
I've been talking to Keenan, and I already know that if I coach, I'm going to leave practice. I'm not going to stay at practice because I hated practice while I was a player.
So you don't think that would change as a coach, huh?
No, because I would go out there and I would show the receivers what to do within 15 minutes and then see ya. Gonna go to the beach.
Gotcha. If you can't learn it in 15 minutes, you're not going to get it. Jimmy. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, man, no matter what you do, it doesn't sound like coaching for the time being is in the agenda for you.
No, because it just takes too much time away from your family.
All right. Well, listen, man, the best to your family. Yeah.
Yeah, just listening to Keenan, you know, on being, in Maryland and then his family's in Texas, he didn't get a chance to see his kids as often as he should. And I know at this point in time in our lives, he wants to be there. So we'll see what happens with him.
Well, listen, man, the best to you and your family. We appreciate you taking some time out today, and nice to see these young guys having a little thunder and lightning success of their own, and hopefully that will continue and continue to keep the flame of your memory burning along with Keenan's in Jaguar fans' hearts and minds, as I know it will for a long, long time. Jimmy, always wish you continued success, man. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right, you got it, buddy. Jimmy Smith of your Jacksonville Jaguars, at Jimmy Smith Jags on Twitter. Give him a shout. Tell him it was good to hear from him here on 1010XL on Jaguars today. Always nice to have Jimmy pop by. Oh, I just missed that one. Somebody sent one in asking about who was the toughest defensive back he ever faced. You know what? That's one we'll ask him the next time we have him on the program. Coming up, we'll take a look at your weekly injury report. Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will pop by, and we'll see what his expectations are as to whether or not we may see T.J. Yeldon on the field tomorrow night. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, time to dig into your weekly injury report here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on Jaguars Today. Thanks to Jimmy Smith, longtime Jaguar, great wide receiver, for joining us to take a little look at what's going on. I do think it's interesting, Tony, the similarities to some degree with he and Marquise Lee, right? Second-round picks that
sure.
Injuries have just prevented them from showing what they're capable of doing in the early part of his career. But obviously, you listen to Jimmy, he thinks that Marquise needs to get a lot stronger than he is right now. Jimmy was a ripped monster at wide receiver. I don't think every wide receiver needs to be the same physique as Jimmy Smith, but clearly he thinks that Marquise Lee needs some time in the weight room.
Yeah, and I think there is something to, you talk to a bunch of guys who are done playing in the league, or they're 5-6 years into the league, and they start talking about the way that they didn't take care of themselves and their body and prepare themselves for games in week, games out of season. I mean, it's a different world playing in the National Football League, and the demands that are put on your body physically are extreme on a week-to-week basis. And I think as young players, it's difficult to anticipate what that's going to be, even when people are telling you, what it's going to be. It's one of those things where I don't think you believe it until you experience it, and then you're sitting there at the end of year one going, oh my gosh, I've never felt like this in my life. What do I have to do to prevent feeling like this, next January? And I think the longer you get into your career, the more of a groove you get into how to take care of yourself and get ready week to week.
Hey, Marquise wants to have an impact on this team. You better get hustling, buddy, because Rashad Green's coming back, and he's going to be ready to play.
Yeah, Marquise looks like he was launched out of a cannon. Like on the field last week, it's just, you're watching Hearns and Robinson are making all kinds of plays, and then you just watch Marquise, and that his ability to just run and move, it draws your attention immediately when he's back on the football field, and it's get the ball in his hands and let this guy go make some plays, because it looks like he is anxious to get the ball in his hands right now.
Well, he's not on the injury report now. Let's talk injuries with Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of the Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. What's up, Doc? How are you?
Good. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Good to have, apparently, Allen Hurst never went away, but it's good to have him trending well for Thursday night. What can you tell us? What are you able to tell us about his condition and how he's going to be able to manage it going forward?
I think he's been suffering from a sports hernia throughout the year. And what a sports hernia is it's not a real hernia. A real hernia when you have a sort of a hole or a defect down in your groin area that some of your abdominal contents come out of. Sports hernia is more some tearing of the muscles off that pubic bone that you feel down at the bottom of your abdomen. And so I think what's happening with him is he's had some treatment on it. He just went up and saw Dr. William Myers, who's kind of the guru of sports hernias up in Philadelphia, got some treatment up there, and hopefully he's going to be able to get back and play, and maybe we'll require season surgery at the end of the season, but so far we're hoping he'll be able to get back and play.
These different doctors, different gurus and things, you just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be the sports hernia guy? Like, how does that happen?
You know, it started, interestingly, in soccer, and it was up at Duke. A guy by the name of orthopedist William Garrett saw a bunch of these, and you know, it's a general surgery thing, not an orthopedic sports medicine thing, and this guy took an interest in it, and now he is sort of the guru. All these NFL teams send him up there. It's kind of a cash and carry business to him, and the NFL guys can afford to have him take care of him, and he's been very successful at the treatment of these things, and so he's kind of warranted it, and I think it just evolved from a relationship with the sports docs up in the North Carolina area.
So bottom line, Hearn's tough guy. Looks like he's going to be able to continue to go unless something gets worse from this point on.
Exactly.
All right. Moving along to Derek Marks, I guess surgery today, right, to repair the tricep?
Right. I talked to Dr. Kaplan before I came over here. Dr. Kaplan did his surgery this morning. It was very successful. Unfortunately, that's going to put him out for the rest of the year, but it's something that we see him come back from all the time, and we wouldn't expect for him to have any lingering problems from that once it's healed.
So you would expect a return to full strength status as if it had never been injured, basically?
Well, you know, not never been injured, okay. but pretty darn good.
Okay.
You know, I wouldn't expect, you know, you might lose a pound or two on your bench press, but I think football functionality, he should be great.
Should be fine going forward. Let's hope that's the case, and let's hope that that's where it stops with Sindarik, because he said he's starting to feel like an old man or a mannequin falling apart in different pieces. He's still a young guy, Doc. It's a brutal game out there.
It is. Sometimes, you know, these things come in spurts. When it rains and pours, it pours, and he's worked so hard to get back after that ACL and was just starting to come into his own and then slap back down again. I know that's got to be depressing.
All right, and then finally, we've got TJ Yeldon out of the walking boot yesterday. What is a midfoot sprain, I guess, is what we're looking at with him?
Yeah, we talked about this a little with Allen Hurns, and Allen was able to come back and play pretty well, which I was sort of surprised about, but this is, again, not one of the dreaded lists, Frank, but a midfoot sprain. Sometimes, as we saw with Allen Hurns, you can jump back out and get out there, and sometimes they linger and last a little longer. So we'll all be keeping our fingers crossed and hope that he's going to be ready. But it's a short week, so that, you know, that's a problem.
Yeah, so that'll be wait and see for him tomorrow night, and hope for the best with TJ Yeldon. Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, always appreciate you stopping by. Of course, Dr. Lucy is one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine provider. Providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, have a great week. Let's hope we're talking about, wow, amazing, no injuries last week when we meet again next Wednesday. Yeah,
it seems like that's only after the bye week.
Have a good
but
day.
But I hope you're right.
Thank you, man. There he goes, Dr. Stephen Lucy here with us on the Metro Diner chat counter. All right, Tony, today, fan feedback spotlight, we are asking folks on this Metro Rooter Wednesday, what is their routine like, the pregame routine, when you've got a primetime home game for the Jacksonville Jaguars? What kind of feedback did we get there?
From Jason, help the kids get their homework done early, get baths, and convince them that mama wants to spend time with them. From Johnny, Duval Doom, drink all day, at the slab, laugh at the ones who don't make it into the game. From Eric, normal tailgate, try to get off earlier from work and take the next day off. Pre-planning is key. From Love Hyphen, try and get done with work in time to drive from Tampa. From Reed, flying into Duval from St. Louis 1 hour before kickoff, so probably pounding a couple tall cans on the way. Hashtag two wins in 5 days. And from Black Dog Express, I get as much work done today as possible for an earlier arrival at the slab, and then I eat a gourmet sandwich.
Well, all right. I hope that's a dandy gourmet sandwich, by the way. Maybe the Anytime Deli line. Matt McCullough on Facebook said he heads east down I-10, stops at an undisclosed donut outlet to get a couple dozen, quote, hot now donuts. I think we can figure out what outlet that might be for the tailgate. Get to the tailgate early. Make sure he reminds friends to call out for work the next day before they do anything that may lead them to forget. Then listen to his super special primetime tailgate playlist mix, along with, of course, the Jaguars pregame show. Well, we certainly appreciate that. Let's see. Chad Cox says he's going to drink himself into a football zombie pregame. Then after the Jaguars lose, oh no, could proceed to come knock cones over and route to the car while trying to evade tattoo-laden cops. Chad, I hope they get you if you're getting behind the wheel of that car.
Yeah, man.
Quite frankly, be on the lookout for Chad, who may be planning to hopefully bring a designated driver with him.
Yeah, not cool
tomorrow.
Chad.
Not cool at all. Unless you're getting a designated driver, as far as that goes. Let's see. You really don't want to know. I got that one. Let's see. Drink a lot of beer just in case I need it for the outcome. Win or lose, I still feel good. Hashtag primetime beatdown. Hashtag forget the Titans. That was from Cass. And on we go. I don't want to get anybody else in any kind of trouble, Tony.
Right.
But be on the lookout, okay? If you're going to drink yourself into a pregame or midgame, any kind of state, just make sure you got somebody else getting behind the wheel of the car who's not doing that. Please, 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 please.
Absolutely.
I ask you for my own personal safety and the safety of all the rest of the folks who will be departing the stadium at some point after the Jaguars not lose but knock the crap out of the Tennessee Titans tomorrow night. I'm feeling good about the chances, Tony, but we'll talk more about that tomorrow when we have a Keys to the Game Thursday as opposed to a Keys to the Game Friday with the primetime game coming up. Welcome to the States to our buddy Stevie Howland, a.k.a. Irish Jaguar, Christoph, a.k.a. Stoffelis Prime as well, are in, if not in town, in the vicinity, in the state of Florida.
Yes, they are. And I think I saw Irish Jag. It looked like he was having biscuits and gravy for breakfast this morning. And I bet it's a bit different than the fare over there. The food over here in the States is a bit richer.
What is that thing I taste?
Oh, it's
salt. They use salt in their food over there. Just giving you a hard time. Hopefully we'll see the boys at some point if they stop by the pregame show tomorrow or whether they make it into studio here at some point over the next couple of days. Love to see those guys and appreciate the support of those UK Jag fans coming over to spend a few of those tourist dollars here on the First Coast. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network and NFL.com for joining us today. Thanks to John Osher, the senior writer for Jaguars.com, Dr. Stephen Lucy with your midweek injury report from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, and, of course, longtime Jaguar great Jimmy Smith, all for joining the program today. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I am Mike Dempsey. We will be back with a game day special edition of Jaguars Today tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Coming up next, we'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.